Hey, Inside Run podcast listeners, thanks for downloading this show. Just a quick message to let you guys know that we recorded this episode Monday night, as usual, before the Shelby Houlihan authentic pork burrito story broke on Tuesday. So if you're wondering why we didn't mention that this episode, that's why. We'll get to it next week. Thanks to our amazing Patreon supporters who make the show possible each and every week. Been going 189 consecutive weeks now, thanks to the legends over there on Patreon. If you're in a position and this show brings you value, there are three different options to support the Inside Running Podcast over at patreon.com/InsideRunningPodcast. If that floats your boat, we might have some bonus content for you over there, or different rewards for different levels of support. Enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
Pain. Now I hear you say you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 189 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week, giving us your ears. Hopefully you're lacing up for a run and we can keep you company for the next 45, 50, 60 minutes. We did say tonight might be a bit of a quicker show. We'll see how we go with that. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, nursing a bit of sickness at the moment, thanks to his children. Bradley Croker, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brady. Yeah, the joys of two kids with a cold at the same time. So long weekend here, so that's a positive, but yeah, a little bit of a cold at the moment. Nothing too serious.
Off air, your co-host just said, just give him some medicine. Sorts it out.
Got to look easy. After the kids a bit better, mate.
Yeah, and then we tried to explain to him, Brady, that, you know, kids that age can't blow their nose, and so snot just runs down onto their lip, and he's just like, oh, yeah, just hand them a box of tissues. They can sort themselves out.
I love taking parenting advice. My guy doesn't have any kids yet.
Sound like little feral kids.
All kids are feral at that age.
Brad, you can't say that about your kids. I've already told you shouldn't talk about your kids like that. My son is not a feral.
Oh, come on. You can't control his
He's a great child.
All right, so he's fully trained, is he?
Fully trained, vaccinated.
Sounds like it might be a colour thing. Just can't stop the snot coming out the nose. This is a real grub.
Welcome my co-host down in, no, you're not in Anglesey, you're in Noosa. Julian Spence, welcome to this week's episode. Supercoach, welcome.
I'm here. I'm out in the car park again.
Good internet.
Just on the Noosa River, sitting here.
The season's best for you on the internet.
I got out early and I'm just in this creepy car park. There's people next to me making out and someone's, I don't know, eating dinner by himself and there's me doing a podcast.
So it's fully dark and you're in your car with your laptop open on the phone? Is that what it looks like?
I put the car lights on just to not scare anyone. If they walk
past.
It looks
so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably can see my laptop because it's pretty bright. So they'll read the agenda. I'll hide the other windows. We don't want them to see that.
And you're going to ride up there? What's the latest update with the injury?
All right, yeah. So I, last week I got on the Monday, I saw a sports doctor up here. And he referred me for another scan. So I got the MRI the next day, actually. And then I followed up with him on Saturday at a review appointment. He looked at the MRI. He pointed out a couple of things that were different from the other MRI, including like a lot of fluid in my ankle joint. And he had a bit of a theory that maybe the ankle joint inflammation was referring to the back of my ankle, which is my Achilles, and so that's why I was getting my soreness. So today, so today I went back, visited him again. He basically did like a trial procedure where he put local anesthetic in my ankle with the plan or the theory that if that got rid of, if they numbed that area and took the pain away and I still got the Achilles soreness, then it wasn't that causing the issue. So long story short, that I still, it got real confusing because I had 7 days off running as well, and my Achilles improved because of that, because I wasn't flaring it up anymore. And so it's hard to know now with that procedure, because I went in there with no pain, I left with no pain. But I've still been getting some awareness, and post run tonight, I felt it a little bit. So I don't think it was successful, really. So yeah. So
but
now
you can write that out though, can't you? Like, you put a line through that.
Pretty much, yeah. It's pretty much exactly what that was. Just make sure it's not this, yeah. And then we can move on to some other things. He actually did say one of the things on the scan, it did show some inflammation still in the sheath. So perhaps that first injection that I had back in Melbourne didn't quite work, and we might investigate another one. But for now, like, I've run actually a few days now, so I'm on to my third day of running 25 minutes without any pain. So at this point, I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. And I think I'll just explore that if it really regresses again quickly. So, yeah, I ran. So on Saturday, I ran 15 minutes. Sunday, ran 20 minutes. Today, ran 25. So that's how I've gone up here.
Zero pain at all.
Yeah, no pain. I'm going to say I've got some awareness, but I don't have any pain. And I had a lot of pain when it was bad. It was real bad. It was unrunnable. So definitely improvement. I just have to be really careful with how I increase my loading now. I'm not going to do any of that speed work I was doing with Ali. Just stay on the bike with her for her faster stuff, and just do some jogs with her, basically. And then just slowly increase the load till, hopefully, the whatever was causing my issue goes away, whether it's inflammation that dies down or whether it's the tendon that regenerates and gets stronger again. That's what I'm waiting for now.
Sounds positive.
Smart.
A bit
move,
more positive
move.
Than last week. Bit more.
Mm.
Yeah.
We were concerned about you jumping in with sessions with a dodgy Achilles. So it's good. I reckon you've made the smart move.
Yeah, yeah. I go through waves of like how selfish I am and what I'm doing here, and I kind of realized that I can run with someone, and it might help them a little bit, but it's probably more help me being company on easy runs for the next 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. So if I can do that, then I can help out that way.
Very good. Bradley Croker, how's your week been?
It was pretty uneventful, really. Just lots of jogging. So I did gym in the morning on the Monday, and then 45 minutes in the afternoon at 4:10s. And then Tuesday, went out to the track, and we knew rain was on its way. And the session was K-reps off a 200 jog. The 200 jog in about a minute, sort of 55 seconds to a minute. We had another really good group. So before the session, we said, look, let's try and just aim for sort of 3:10s to 3:15s for these K reps. So like relatively comfortable. And like for myself, I thought, if I feel really good, I'll probably do maybe 8 of them because, everyone else was doing 6 and they would have been working pretty hard off 6 of those. But I thought, 3:10s to 3:15s, I could probably do 8. Led the first rep. So all reps were between 3:09 and 3:13. First rep felt pretty ordinary, which I led, and then started to feel pretty good. It absolutely pissed down about rep 3, and it was like that cold rain where it only took like probably a minute and a half of rain before you're absolutely freezing. And you know that feeling where like your sort of legs go numb and you just can't even feel your legs?
Just chill to the bone.
Yeah, and so there's a bit of lightning and thunder around, which didn't stop us, but we finished the 6 reps and I thought, that'll do me, just because I felt like I was really just tightening up because of how cold it was. And I thought there's not much not much to be gained by doing an extra couple of reps, especially off the back of that solid Sunday. Then Wednesday, after work, so it's getting pretty dark early now. Like it's, you know, what, 20 past five, it's pretty much dark. So I really struggled to get sort of the 80 to 90 minutes in. So I went, got out to Mulligan's, but the last 15 minutes was pretty much in the dark. Average 4:12s. I didn't feel great on this run. I'm not sure whether it was just the fact that it was bloody freezing here all week, like the coldest week we've had all year, and I just really struggled to warm up. And I had a little bit of that hip stuff that basically gave me issues for like a year and a half on the left side. So just like tight through my TFL, my adductors and my psoas. It certainly wasn't as bad as it had been, but I was just sort of aware of it. Got through 20K, 4:12s, and then the kids started to get sick around then. And so the rest of the week, I just didn't feel amazing through like the hip and the back, and I felt like I was on the verge of getting sick. So I basically just jogged the rest of the week, because I look back, I'd done six, since I had that gastro, I had done like 6 weeks of averaging over 130K. So I thought, you know what, probably due for just a bit of a down week anyway. So Thursday, just 45 minutes, 4:14s. Friday, I did an hour at 4:07. So I was in two minds at that point whether I'd still do some sort of session either on the Friday or the Saturday. But then after that Friday run being, you know, a little bit quicker towards the end, I decided just to jog on the Saturday. So another hour at 4:17s, and then 2 hours yesterday at 4:08. So felt really good yesterday for the first, from like 40 minutes to probably an hour 40, felt really good, pretty cruisy. And then just started to tighten up a little bit again through the back and the hips the last sort of 20 minutes. So a week of 116K, one pretty comfortable session and just plenty of jogging. So, yeah.
Do you reckon the wet track, you know how you like cover the ground differently when it's wet, you kind of get that bit of slippage? Do you reckon that could be the hip and the tighter kind of tightness stuff?
No, I reckon the hip and the stuff was from Sunday. I just find, and it's even with my long runs, like I obviously just start to fatigue and I'm just not strong enough. And so the last 20 minutes, although I can still hold the pace and the pace is comfortable, you just know, like it's almost that often how you feel at the back end of a marathon. Like you can still hold the pace, but you just know that you sort of, your form's breaking down and things are starting to tighten up. And I think, and because last Sunday when I did that 10K, like I was able to comfortably hold like 3:30s or slightly faster than 3:30s, but I'm like, this, I don't feel like I'm moving that well at all. Like I can grind it out, but I'm just, back, hips, adductors, yeah, just, so I reckon that's what caused it. So I think a week of jogging was a good idea.
Not what you want to hear though, Moose, if you're paying in the big bucks to pace the lead females at Gold Coast in under 3 weeks' time, is it?
I'll get through that. That'll be fine.
He loves money too much to let that one go.
People are relying on you, brother, at 3:30 pace.
I'll be fine.
Going, it's, pay me.
It's different when you're in a race situation compared to just a Sunday out at Mulligan's or a Sunday around Lake Burley Griffin. I'll be fine. It'll be but I definitely think after I do that, I'm done with like the longer stuff. Tempos at the end of long runs, and yeah, like I won't do any more than 2 hours.
Tempos every single long run, that kind of thing.
yeah. So but I'll be fine for Gold Coast.
Does this mean you're retiring from long distance running?
Yeah, pretty much. Going back to just 10 200s off a minute recovery.
I reckon
I used to do when I was like 22.
Still some sort of boxes left to tick in the old 1500 career. Reckon you underperformed back then?
Actually, I do have a listener question, which I like. It's my listener question to you guys.
Here we go.
I won't do it tonight, but I reckon I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week because my training...
Don't leave it hanging for a week.
If my training this week...
Is it about you?
Yeah, it's about me.
Of course, it's about you.
I just want to get your thoughts on something, that's all.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking forward to this.
Right. You've got to give... Do I have to look at your training to answer it?
Not really, no. It was no different. Moose, you sprung a question on us. without
any... Should you race more?
No, no, it's not that.
Should you slow your long runs down?
Well, yeah. Well, it could partly that, Moose.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I got you. I know where this is heading. I like it.
Can we please go there now, Brad? No. The listeners jogging along will be like, come on, boys.
No, next week, because I'm doing something at the track tomorrow night, which will give a hint as to what I've been thinking. Anyway, that was my week. Tell us about your exciting race, Brady.
Yeah, I had a race this week. So I started Monday with 50 minutes. So we were planning to treat this week like we were going to race at Launceston until we got told we weren't. So whereas a few other people, like Victorians, especially the Metro ones, I think they'd probably given up hope by Monday at the start of the week. So 50 minutes easy, 4:29 pace on Monday morning, and then just 30 minutes in the afternoon at 4:37s. Tuesday, we did a bit of a sharpener workout. It was 6x1K. We averaged 2:54. Same as you, Brad, like just absolutely hammering down rain from the start. And just like you just got wet. I don't mind running in the rain if you start dry and then you get wet during the run. But when you jump out of the car and you're absolutely drenched like 500 meters into your warm up and you're just so cold and you know you've still got to, you know, change shoes and get the workout kind of done and then cool down. It just, it's kind of character building, I suppose. And like it's just so dark in the mornings as well. Like when we meet at 6:30 on a Tuesday morning, it just feels like it's the middle of the night. So to be drenched and dark, it was just pretty kind of sad out there. We're kind of feeling sorry for ourselves. But we got the workout done. Average 2:54s off 90 seconds walk. Yeah, it was a good one. It was it's one where we would have looked pretty funny running down the road because my singlet got really tight. You know when they get wet and they stick to you and it's kind of hard to breathe? You guys ever had that before? When it's super
hard
wet?
Hard to breathe. Hard to,
no. You know, like so it sticks to your chest and I had a kind of tighter singlet on and then it's like... It was kind of like suffocating me kind of thing.
What singlet was it?
You need a bigger singlet.
I was in an on-running singlet. Actually, they're new Elite ones. You know those? You've seen those ones?
Nah.
Zach has sent to me.
Elite, you reckon? Sounds real Elite.
Yeah, I think they're like $90 or something. Yeah, probably not the best singlet if you got race day coming up, if it's going to be raining. But so I had that stripped off. So I'm running down the road in the pissing down rain with like half tights and arm warmers on. Archie was in like a rain jacket. Not sure why he did a workout like in a full blown rain jacket with a hoodie on.
Flexing on you, that's why.
And here we're running 2:54 pace like down a road, and there must be people like tradies driving to work. Like, what the hell are these guys doing? Like, this is just stupidity. But we got the workout done, ticked it off, character building, absolutely drenched. But got it done, went off to work. Then
just a question on your workout, like 2:54's race week. Like, did you really think you were, like, in 29 minutes? Like, you're going to run 29 minutes for 10K?
I did that so 2:58s would feel relaxed. Yeah, that wasn't – I didn't do 6x1K at 10K pace.
But you did another session on Thursday where you do some quicker 1 minute. So, you know, you can run quicker over the 1 minute reps to make your 2:58s feel comfortable. Like, it just seems like a pretty solid – session.
Solid workout race week, you reckon?
Well, I reckon you're better off just feeling comfortable at race pace over Ks, like of race week.
Do you get
rather than
of
trying
a feel
to give yourself
you,
some confidence. Yeah.
I think even Ks at race pace is a solid workout.
Yeah. That's what I just said.
I thought you said, you said it was a good race week workout.
I said it was too hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
but Moose is saying even at race pace is too hard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was. Especially six of them, you're basically running like 60% of the race at the pace you want. I mean, maybe that's not a big...
That wasn't the pace I wanted, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it was much faster.
Faster than the pace you
want. Yeah, this is faster than I wanted, yeah. Off 90, though, was pretty generous.
Yeah. 90's
anyway, we raced
around
on Sunday.
90, if I was... If
it's
I was,
more than 60.
If I was doing... if I was giving like 6x1K... At 5K pace, not to say that's your 5K pace, it might be a little quicker. I'd be giving more like 2 to 3 minutes at that sort of intensity.
Yeah, but that's the thing. My 5K pace is 2:50, but this is bloody 6 or 7 a.m. by the time we're doing this in the pissing down rain, like when it's just got light. So it probably is pretty close to our 5K effort to run 2:54. It's like, yeah, maybe there's something in that.
Not on the track either. You're in the rain, right?
Yeah,
you're
on the road.
Rain,
yeah.
On a slippery road in the morning. Fuck. Yeah, that's...
Well, luckily we raced it right then, fellas, eh? Would have been.
Did you though?
Well, you might. Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked with my race.
Maybe if you did 6 by 1K at 3 minutes to 3:05s, maybe you would have raced it 2:54s.
Maybe Archie was hitting the right effort and you weren't.
Archie was with me. We were next to each other.
That's what I mean. What did he run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He ran, buddy. Yeah. Second fastest Australian ever under 20.
Yeah.
He was in the. Nearly got Ryan Gregson's record. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. Let me get to Sunday. I'll whiz through this. It's easy half an hour in the afternoon, 4:42s. Then I had all that rain, so the trails were washed out for my jog on Wednesday. Did 65 minutes at 4:25, just on the footpaths and stuff. Hated that. Just like getting out the on the trails. And then an easy 5K in the afternoon. This was the day I found out I wasn't allowed into Tasmania because I'd gone to work in Victoria in the last 14 days. So I kind of applied for this thing with the Tasmanian government, and then they rang me during the day Wednesday and like asked me some questions, and the guy sounded really positive. And I kind of explained that I've just been like, I think I worked out was 930 metres, like into Victoria, and haven't kind of left the border bubble. Thought it was a real good chance getting an exemption, being able to go to the race, but then I got an email like an hour after he called me just saying I'd been unsuccessful. So I was kind of thinking at that stage that the race wasn't going to happen. And then we got some good news that night that the Northern Territory were going to start treating regional Victoria different to Metro Victoria. And then we're like, okay, this is good. Hopefully Tassie do the same thing. And then on Thursday, they made an announcement that said they were going to do the same thing. So we're back racing, 8.5K in the morning at 4:25s. And then we just did like a 4K tempo, like 3:30, 3:25 pace, I think it was. And then like 6 by a minute on, minute off. Which come out at like 6.3K at 3:28s. And then 10K easy, 45 minutes on Friday, and then got to Launceston on Saturday, did an easy 30 minutes with Archie and Doug Hammerlock. That was good, kind of seeing the little track that they run around down there in Launceston, see it popping up on Strava all the time, so good to jog around it. And then the race was on Sunday morning, 10:45 a.m., so quite a late race. Kind of used to go on a bit earlier than that, but it was good being able to sleep in, watch the live stream of the half marathon from the hotel. Our plan was to try and go through in 2:58, as I was kind of saying before, so that's like 14:50 through 5K, and then hopefully picking it up. There was talk that there was going to be like a 28:30 pack. Obviously, we know Joel, Brett, or Jack going to be there. It kind of opened the race up, and there was a whole lot of kind of like 28 high, 29 low guys kind of in the race. And like, we kind of made the decision that if they were going to go that pace, we'd kind of chill out and hopefully pick up a bit of damage later on. But the first K was fast, and then it kind of settled down to 3 minute K pace all the way to the turnaround. I think we went through in 14:48, 14:50 ish. I had a problem, you know, with the watch boys when you go to start it and it says, are you sure you don't want to use like wrist heart rate?
Optical heart rate. Yeah. Mate, I've done that before.
But I do it 3 times a week and I still make the same mistake. So I've hit start off the line, and then, you know, you get out of trouble, his arms and legs going everywhere, like don't fall over, don't get trampled. And then I look down at my watch, what I'm guessing is like 10, 15 seconds in, just to check that it started, and it says like, do you want to start even though you're not using optimal heart rate? And I'm like, oh no. So then I just hit go, not understand. So I was kind of a bit off until I got to the 2K mark. Then I split my watch, and then I was getting like accurate data just to see the splits from there. We had a huge pack, like I'm going to say maybe 20 guys in it, still to the turnaround at 5K. And then Kieran Tall went to the front. Archie and I were just hanging at the back. Like I turned to him like 3K and I'm like, this is perfect. Like they're not going out super fast. They're kind of going at our PB pace. We just got to stay here and just get a ride. Kieran Tall kind of went to the front at maybe just after the turnaround at 5K. And then I think he went like 2:53, 2:52 for the 6th and 7th K, and started to spit a few of us out the back. Archie and I kind of just hung on, probably got, you know, 1 or 2 seconds off the back. And then the plan for him was to like respond at 7K, like just be chilled till 7K. And then that's when I got spat fully out the back at 7K when Isaac Hayne, the eventual winner, I think he then ran a 2:45 off the front and dropped the pack. And yeah, I just dipped into, you know, there's that line, like for me, I do a lot of fast, all my faster stuff's kind of at 2:50 pace. So when I throw in a 2:52 at the 6th or 7th K. It's getting real close to like my 5K PB pace, and I was just gassed. I couldn't kind of respond, and yeah, just tried to keep it honest. So it was kind of solo the last 3K. A few of us were spat out the back and were just kind of trailing each other. So I kind of had Michael Roger like 10 seconds in front of me, and Sam Clifford was kind of off the back as well, probably 5 seconds in front of him. And yeah, just tried to keep it at 3 minute K pace. Annoyingly, they had this like U-turn with like 450 to go, and there were like puddles, and you're going through the back end of the 5K runners, and it just felt like you got all your energy zapped doing that U-turn with 450 to go. And then, yeah, I come in 11th. I ran 29:48, which is the first time under 30 on the roads, 14 seconds off my track PB. I was actually, because I wasn't sure what my actual overall running time was because I started my watch late, I thought I was closer to like 29:40-ish. But yeah, and then I watched the stream today, the video. I'm coming across the line in 29:46, but must have been a bit late on that on the stopwatch on the screen or something like that. But I was happy with that. Happy to get that close to my track PB. Stoked for Archie to run like 29, 22. Like he deserves that. He's been running super well in training. And yeah, it's kind of been putting me to the sword a bit in flat road workouts. And we knew he was due to have a good one. And then, yeah, that was it. Cooled down with Ali and Archie. We're all kind of buzzing. And that's about it. Then just, that was the week, Sunday, 116 Ks. But you blokes don't reckon it was a good run, is that what you're telling me?
I reckon I could have done that.
It was good.
Happy with that run.
Like, geez, hard judges.
Like, to see you up in the pack like that for so long was exciting.
I think it's great, Brady. I thought
you guys were whipping in.
No, I just thought more just race week, like go in super, super fresh, like, you know, because that six.
Yeah, I might take that into account going forward, Croaks.
That 6x K session is something at 254s is something that you would do in a normal training week and be happy with it. Whereas I don't think you need to do that Tuesday before a Sunday race over 10K.
Mm. Yeah, valid. Yeah, I like that. You're not going to get much fitter in the last
Perfect
5 days.
Perfect race for you, though. Perfect. Like,
yeah. But what, in hindsight, when they drop those two faster ones at 6 and 7, I should have just let it go then and then tried to keep them at 258 and then tried to kick it home because I just bled too much time in that last 3K when I was solo.
That's racing, though. That's
I know, yeah. You can't have it perfect the whole way, but it was perfect up until 5K.
Yeah, but you know, that was like, always going to get going, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and that, yeah. So it kind of, it got going and then it just, like, if they did that move at 7K, it would have been amazing, like, because you're 3K from home then, so if you pop, you can, yeah, you've only got a K to go. So, but how is it, yeah.
Just a question, like, why didn't they just move the turnaround point out so they didn't have to do the weird end bit?
Don't know. Not sure how that
Would
goes.
Did you think if they just put it out another...
Yeah, or finished at the start line. So, like, we started and finished at a different spot, and it was probably, like, that up and back U-turn with 450 to go was probably... The start line was probably 200 metres from the finish line. Like, we could have just ran through there and finished where the start was. Not sure if that was it was a new thing this year, but I'm not sure if it was a last minute thing or what it was. But yeah, it's hard to get, like, you guys know what it's like doing races with U-turns. And at that stage of the race, and they did say at the elite dinner the night before, like, that we would hit a bit of 5K traffic, which I don't think's, usually happens in that race. Like, usually you got, you know, you can kick down and, but when I was watching the race from being a spectator in it, being 20 seconds back, and you couldn't tell what was happening because you had all these 5K people jogging in at the same time those boys were trying to kick it down. But, yeah, I'm sure Welsh is pretty good to, he'll fix up those things in the future.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the stream? Actually must admit, equaled Croaks's road 10K as well. Moose didn't get it.
Did not this time.
Thought I might have had that one. If that Huey wasn't there, though, bang.
You were real focused on the actual finishing time, weren't you?
Yeah, like, and complaining that there was U-turns. And it's like, well, most road races have U-turns. Sydney 10, where when I ran my PB, had 3 that year.
That was short, though. Don't they measure that on a GPS watch? Not like ANSI credit.
I was also in a pair of bloody just streak LTs.
What about the surface? A bit wet? A bit slippery?
Yeah, wet the whole way. And foggy as.
Yeah.
Like, it was really weird. And then, like, we'd run through sections where the fog would clear and then, like, it'd get hot. Like, I'm telling people.
Get hot,
like,
you reckon?
What about, it'll get super hot.
Get what hot about that message?
I think everyone pretty much ran 30 seconds slower than their PBs. Kieran Tall ran 30 seconds slower.
Bowden, what about the Tim message Vincent. You sent through? It says 29:48 minus 3 seconds for this U-turn, minus 5 seconds for the running through the 5K, 3 seconds for being wet equals... Well, what'd you get down to? I think it was like 29:10 or something.
I'm sitting there next to Ali saying, watch this, this will trigger Croaks. And then you get the message and think I'm fucking serious. And then you get triggered and fire back. And I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, settle down, Bradley. I'm honoured to share the same road PB as you. Like, it's you were in good shape when you ran that. Gets super defensive. We'll talk about the results for Launceston a bit later on, but let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh? Kick us off, Bradley.
All right.
We're going to Norway.
Yeah, I'm heading to Norway again. Alexander Oldrup Jensen, estimated best on Strava are 20:31 for 5K, 42:21 for 10. Does some hiking as well, going by his Strava photos. He lives in a village in the Arendal area in Agder County, Norway. The village is located in the central part of the island of Hisøya along the Skagerrak coast. The village is the site of the historic Hisøy Church. Well, thanks, Alexander, for your support, and thanks, Brady, for stitching me up with all of those Norwegian words.
Thanks, Alexander. Well done, Bradley. Not as good as you usually are with those ones,
no.
But I'll pay it.
Well, it's because you put about six of them in there rather than just the one or two. Anyway,
I was sitting in my hotel room at Launceston thinking, how can I stitch up Croaks this week with all these names? Moose, who you got?
I've got a famous VIP, Darren Boyd, long-time listener celebrating his 40th birthday this Sunday. So happy birthday. Darren, he ran his first marathon in New York City in 2014 on his honeymoon. Oh, how did he get away with that? I'm not sure I would be able to get away with that. That's going to ruin a few things, Darren. Pre-run nerves, not really being able to go out and have proper dinners and get on the piss and stay up late and waste energy. And then afterwards, you're going to be sore and you're going to be, oh, Darren. Nah, he's got PB of 19:12, 45:40, 129 half, 3:23 at Melbourne. Reckon he can do some work on that marathon PB. He also loves sport. Well, that's good. Has been a sports lawyer, used to commentate the VFL for ABC TV. They were actually the best commentators, and that was the best football to watch. If you ever spent like a Saturday afternoon watching VFL on ABC, they were good days. He's the board secretary for Athletics Australia. Oh, shit. Boys, we better watch what we say. And in a couple of months, we'll be commentating the Paralympics on Channel 7. So happy birthday, Dazza.
Happy birthday, Dazza. Got a pretty good wife there as well in Shannon, I reckon. Thanks to my Patreon supporter, Emily's son. See the photo I've got here, Croaks?
Yeah.
We met Emily at the Canberra Marathon.
We certainly did.
From Brompton over in South Australia. She ran 1:49 at the Barossa Half Marathon, 47:05 at the Victor Harbour 10K in 2013. Maybe that's been rewritten since. And 24:36 at the Mawson Lakes Park Run. This is what she said in her Strava about that photo, Croaks. Highlight of the day was fangirling the Inside Runner podcast boys and finally getting a photo with them. Signing up for Patreon now, bring on Macca's hotcakes. Remember she had the Macca's deal going like you did?
If
she had a PB. So there you go. Brad the Croaker inspiring people to eat McDonald's all over Australia. Thanks,
what
Emily,
you
for your support.
What were you doing at Mawson Lakes Park Run?
No, this was at Canberra Marathon. Oh, weekend.
Her PB was from Mawson Lakes Park Run. Yeah. That's still, you're in that vest, Croaks, of mine. I'll still need that back.
You'll get it in, what,
Gold
3 weeks?
Yeah, good.
That's in 3 weeks now.
Runner news, boys, where do you want to start? Let's start at the top of this document, actually. That's probably the smartest thing to do. Moose, tell us about the women's 10,000-meter world record went down again.
Yeah.
I spoke about this last week.
I didn't actually watch this, but I woke up to the news and I had to double take. I was like, wait, what? What am I reading?
I actually laughed out loud when I saw it. Yeah. It was like, really? Like giggled. Yeah.
Yeah, I read it and I kind of was like double take, and then the next thing was like, oh no, Twitter's going to destroy this. Like, this is going to be laughable on Twitter. All the everyone will come out the woodwork again, and we've sort of seen it with the latest article and all that. But Lettuce Ben Gidey breaks Sifan Hassan's 2-day-old 10,000-meter world record. So last time we were talking on the podcast, we were talking about Sifan running 29.07 to win the race, run the world record. And Gidey has come out on the same track, like, what, 2 to 3 days later, was it? Ran an incredible 14.18 second half. So kicked down with a 4.26 final mile to break Hassan's mark on the very same track. Now, that's... That's pretty ridiculous considering, like, what we saw with Hassan. We were going, this is the most incredible thing we ever seen, really, in running or close to. And then having that happen, it's like, oh, what's incredible now? What do we have to see to actually get that incredible feel? I'm not sure anymore. But anyway, that's it. That happened. Any further comments?
It actually took me a little while to work out what was going on, because I got your message, Brady, where you're like 14.8, like you basically wrote to us 14.18 second half with a 4.26 mile, and I thought you were talking about Hassan's record. I'm like, this is old, Brady. Like, are you still obsessed with that result? And then it wasn't until I sort of dug a bit deeper, I'm like, oh shit, no, that's a new record. Yeah, so no, incredible.
Those splits are crazy.
It's going to be good seeing. Well, hopefully they go head to head at the Olympics.
They'll run 28.30 at the Olympics. Wait till there's a gold medal on offer.
Yeah. Speaking of Hassan, what about her? She backs up, was it 2 days later, 3 days later, and runs like a 3:53, 1500 at Diamond League?
Yeah. Yeah, took down Faith Kipyego.
Yeah.
Had to get back in the news somehow.
Well,
the Olympic champion and Laura Muir ran 3:55. Like, how you do that? How can you guys have ran track 10K? Yeah. It doesn't matter what spikes you're wearing.
I'm sore for a week after a 10K.
5 days later, she runs 3:53.
For sure. I'm sore after a 5K on the track.
Both these ladies would have just won Lonnie 10 on the weekend as well, against all these guys who run 3:40 for 1500 and 13:40.
And it's often
the times we're talking
for Hassan. It's often the it's like it's not a common way to do it. Often you'll see people do the short race first and then step up to the longer one second. Where she's gone the 10K first, then to step down to 1500, it's quite rare, and to run, you know, 3:53 is pretty impressive. It wasn't a PB for her, but yeah, close.
An amazing ability to recover, yes. One might say.
Mm.
Yeah, whatever they're doing, I want a bit of that. Ben Buckingham was over in Europe as well. He was in Turku. He ran a 3 second PB. He ran 8:24.3 for the 3000 meter steeplechase. Talk about Ben a bit on this podcast. Been a long time Patreon supporter, interviewed him. He moves from number 10 of all time to number 5. Just missed that Olympic standard, though. So 8:22 is the standard. He ran 8:24. He's ranked 36th in the world. This is as of Saturday. I probably should have checked this and maybe updated it. And they take 45. Fastest Australian in 10 years. So it's looking like Ben is going to hopefully go to the Olympics, because this all is going to matter in 2 weeks' time when I think June ends. We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
June, yeah. Qualifying period's up. So that's good from Ben.
Good
in
from
shape.
Ben. Good from Ben.
Florence Diamond League. 5K was amazing over there. Jakob Ingebrigtsen got the win in 12:48, broke the European record. Gerimet, he was second, the Ethiopian, in 12:49. Mohamed Ahmed was third, the Canadian. Bowman Track Club, 12:50. There were, what, six, seven? The upset was that Chebtegei, the Ugandan, the world record holder, was in sixth in 12:54. Stewie was in the same race, come 11th in 13:20. Matthew Ramsden, 15th in 13:32. So you see so many people under 13 was crazy. And the Australians just a bit off the pace there. You watch this one, Bruce. Pretty amazing what he did.
This was a good one to watch. This was watching a tactician at work, really.
Tactically brilliant.
It was, and it's like he's learnt what happens over the past however long by racing and experiencing competition with these other athletes. He knows, like Chepteguy, he can make some pretty rash decisions, or he can, when he goes hard, and there's probably not too many in the world that can do it. And even he realizes that it's a sort of a suicide if you do that. And so when you were watching, you thought, oh, Jakob's dropped and those guys behind, they're off the pace. But really, no, the injection was made. And Jakob just stayed, just was at his cruising altitude, basically, and just remained.
Well, he was with Stewie, wasn't he? Same pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same pack. So Stewie obviously dropped off, and Jakob remained cool, calm, just sort of saw what was happening, saw guys going away and basically dropping like very fast 400 splits, and in his head recognizing this shit's dangerous for me, like I've got to be patient, and just he didn't even claw back, he just kept running the same. They came back to him, and then yeah. I mean, you don't often see Jakob lose in the last 200 meters, only to one person, Chariot. It's the only guy who's been beating him over that last 200 or 100 in any distance.
But what about his technique? He is so, like, in that last 150, everyone's got arms and legs going everywhere. He looks the same in that last 150 as he does in the first 150. He just doesn't look tired. The way he moves and covers the ground and his stride is just, oh, it's just brilliant to watch. You'd put your house on him, wouldn't you? Unless Chariot's there.
Chariot's still got his measure, though. He beats him consistently.
In a 15,
yeah, in the 5, though. I mean, Cheptegei, maybe this is a learning curve for Cheptegei to realize, hey, like, there's other guys around that can play ball here. Like, it's one thing going out running on the lights to break a world record, but, I mean, I'm not say this about Cheptegei. He's beaten everyone in the world, but... maybe like that just gave him a little bit of a scare, enough to sort of be a bit more conservative when it comes to Olympics.
So does Ingebrigtsen run the 5K instead of the 15, or runs the 15?
Because
you know, he's got the wheels now to beat these 5K, like 5K specialists, and you know, he's got the strength by the looks of this as well.
Well,
isn't it absolute ridiculous? So can I just pipe up here? Isn't it ridiculous the programming that you can't do both?
Yeah.
Like whoever come up with that schedule needs to be fired. Why would you not make it possible for a 15 5K double?
Yeah.
Because they did it at Doha.
Well, they did it in bloody Athens, yeah. Athens Olympics.
Yeah. Hisham Al Gurushi the double, didn't he?
Yep.
You can actually do it. It's going to take a lot of racing over a very short period, and you're going to
have to race twice in one day.
You're going to have to. You'll be compromising both events, but it is possible to do. I don't think anyone would like. I mean, Sifan could do it if she was doing that, but she's not. The women don't have that problem. It's the same. Like essentially, with the same decision for Jakob is the same for Stewie right now.
Well, on that...
Oh, but Stewie's got 10.
Stewie has 10, but...
Jakob doesn't.
I reckon this race, for me, means that Stewie will definitely run the 1500 instead of the 5. Just based on, like, he's, like, world-class in the 1500. Like, you know, there's not many guys in the world that are actually beating him, whereas look at how many guys he broke 13 minutes comfortably. I reckon his best chance based on this race... is the 15. So
that was an Olympic. That was an Olympic final kind of field, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But you know, like you've got, you know, I just don't think Stewie will run 12:48. So like, whereas he's in the mix in the 1500. That's where I think he'll land.
Be interesting to see. We'll know in 2 weeks' time, I reckon. So where they're going to go. So here's a question for you, Moose. Jakob decides to run the 5K. Who's the favourite? Him or Cheptegei going in?
Cheptegei, for sure. Yeah.
Cheptegei doesn't have the kick though.
Yes, he does. He does. He just fucked this race up.
Not over 1500. I think his PB is doesn't like matter. 37.
I don't think it will.
Jakob's nearly 10 seconds quicker than him over 15.
I mean, Jakob. He's very. I mean, he's obviously fast, right? But Cheptegei is fast. Full stop. And Cheptegei can close as fast as he'll need to, but it will be he will make the race fast. The guy will go out there and run 13:40 pace from the gun and make it
12:40.
Oh yeah, sorry, 12:40, and he'll make it fast because that's his strength. That's how good he is. That said, we've seen Cheptegei in the world half not come out on top when we thought it would just be a formality. So there's times when we've sort of considered him like unbackable in terms of like he's unbeatable, but comes through and he doesn't produce. Yeah, I'm less confident in Chep the guy than
So am I. And he's kind of proven that he can be a bit of a pacemaker for him. And if anyone's there with two laps to go, they can outkick him. You're talking about a 328 guy next to a 337 guy, a 1500.
Yeah, but fuck that. How fast has it gone in for 10?
That's how you win Olympic finals with the kickdowns.
Yeah, you still got to beat. Like, I'm not saying Jakob won't be there, but you still got to be there. You can be as fast.
You want to put a slab on it?
Mate, you can put a 400 meter runner in 5K and go, hey, this bloke's the fastest kicker. He'll win.
Do you want to put a slab? Put some money where your mouth is.
Well, let's wait to see which they pick to run it first.
Okay. So that was over at that Florence Diamond League. Then we're going to go to Australia. The Oceania meet, which was on the weekend, Peter Boll come out and ran 144.6. So he did a quick time last week to get that qualifier up, just off his PB of 144.5. Fastest time by an Australian in Australia. And the fastest 800 metre time since their 2000 Olympics. Which is pretty cool to see. He's on fire, this guy. He's hitting some good form at the right time. Other 800 metre news, Jeffrey Risley just missed the qualifier again. He ran 145.36, needs to hit 145.2. And also Charlie Hunter ran an 800 at the NCAA Championships. He ran 145.7. So two guys there. He was third in that race, by the way. Really interesting race. We'll put in the show notes. Worth watching. Two guys off the front go super hard. And Charlie closes hard to come third. This is an interesting one here for the ranking points. So both these guys don't have the time. They take 48. Even though Jeff's faster, he's ranked in position 64th and Charlie Hunter's in 46th. So that's an example. You could talk, Croaks.
Yeah, just jump in there because I just sent you guys a link on Facebook. And so there must have been another race after the NCAA champs where Charlie Hunter ran another 800 and he ran 145.23.
Two people in the race. What the fuck?
145.23. So he missed the standard by 0.03 of a second. So he now has actually run faster than Jeff.
But there's only one person in. There's only one other finisher. That doesn't count that result.
Yeah, there's what? Three DNFs and one DNS and one other finisher.
It hasn't affected his ranking.
He's still ranked 46. Points. Yeah. But it means that he's well within, 300. Imagine missing that 300th of a second over 800.
I hope they both get it because it's kind of like three guys going for three. Well, Pete's there. Two guys going for two spots. Yep. Like, it's not like they're going to knock anyone else out. It just means if we send a full team or if we don't.
Yep, I agree.
That's that same meet in Queensland, there was a women's 5K. Jenny Blundell mentioned her name a couple of weeks ago because she's the Australian 5K champion, so she's got the title. She needs to hit the time that Izzy and Rose did hit a couple of weeks ago over in the Netherlands. She didn't hit the time. She ran 15.28. Caitlin Adams from South Australia, second, 15.29. Eloise Wellings, third, 15.34. So time's running out also for Jenny to punch her ticket to the Olympics. Is that it now, fellas? Are we going to see another 5K in Australia or does Jenny have to go overseas? Do you know any more high performance meets?
I think that's it now. I don't know anyone putting any more meets on.
I know there's a 5K Bankstown in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure whether Jenny and Eloise will both run that one. But certainly not
something there.
Certainly not going to be as deep as some of those European races,
There is one more that Eloise said she was going to run.
Yeah, so there's a Bankstown. It's on a Thursday night. I think it's like the 24th, around that sort of date.
Can it be mixed race or does it have to be all females? Might get the call at pace.
It'd have to be all females.
Okay. Yeah. Melissa Duncan was in there, but a DNF. I didn't watch the stream. Not sure if she was pacing and then pulled out or
Someone else was in there too.
Yeah, I did see the name, but I can't remember who it was. Yeah. It was a very small field, but like...
It was the photo that I saw,
Yeah, just as many DNFs as there were finishes, I think. But I'm assuming some people doing the pacing. Take us to Nice. Moose?
Nice, my friend.
Nice. Did I give you anything to read this week, Croaks, or not?
Nah, it's all good. I've got a listener question coming up.
Jeez, sorry, I've really stitched up here. Nice.
Nice, yep. So Nice was France, a 5K. Isn't it? Yep, in France.
Spelt nice though, N-I-C-E.
Can't believe you've got, it's called, Nice.
Mate, I'm not that cultured. I don't know this kind of stuff.
Clearly.
Ask me how to say Shep and I'll get that right.
You've been calling Jacob Jacob or something for the whole...
No, I'll call him Jacob.
Jacob. What do we like? Jacob or Jacob? Anyway, yeah, Jacob for here's me. One you'll get right.
Cultured. Well, you get, was it Warwick?
Warwick. No.
Worry. you weren't even on that episode, Josh. You can't even bring that up. And it's been cut, so none of the listeners even know what you're talking about.
Warwick, anytime I'm feeling down or sad, I just think of you.
You don't know how hard it is at this side. I've got to manage how to do like all this agenda stuff, recording stuff. Like, I don't even pay attention.
Cry me a river.
10% of my brain is dedicated to getting these names right.
All right, tell us about these nice races in Nice.
In Nice, Bradley. Nice. Is it Nice?
Morgan McDonald was the winner of the 5K. He ran 13:13.67. So really fast. Just misses the standard by what, 1.7? 0.17, which is rough. But even hitting the standard would still keep him in fourth, right? Running that time, it actually puts him in contention as a roll down in a roll down spot. I think he's in 28th position or something on the spots, and they take what, 40, you said, Brady?
Yep, we'll confirm this, Julian.
So he beat Dave McNeil, who finished really strongly, 13:14.19. He ran. He was closing hard, like he does. Goes to the arms, gives that big knife hands through the air, and came through for third, so good result for Australians there.
29th years, they take 42. 29th. He's also, so, worth noting though, is a fourth Australian on the list.
Yeah, so this is again...
So Pat Tiernan's also got the term.
Pat, who's going to take what spots? It'll get pretty, it'll get real interesting. I wonder if they talk amongst themselves about this. You reckon?
Yeah, you reckon Morgan just sends Stuart? Aren't they all staying in the same house? They're all in Tennington, aren't they? Or St. Moritz,
maybe. I don't think Morgan would be staying with those guys. I don't think Pat would be either. I think they're all on their own agendas there. You wonder if there's a WhatsApp group, just all the big dogs like, "Oh, Stewie, what are you doing?"
I'd imagine Pat, if he gets the opportunity, because the 10K is like the first night, isn't it? So that's probably his like pet event. So do the 10K, and then if he's got a spot in the 5, do that as a second race.
Yeah, you're not going to pass up Olympic opportunities.
No, especially when, like, I'd say the 10K is his main event. So it's like, yeah, it's another opportunity to have a run at the Olympics. So why not take it? Yeah.
So Morgan just needs to slide in the Stewie's DMs.
Yeah, maybe look after him somehow.
I reckon Stewie will focus on the 15. Just, yeah. Do
you think he'll do the 10 on that first night, same as Pat, and then go 15?
I don't know. I reckon a 10K... before a 1500 meter preliminary is probably not ideal. What do you boys reckon?
Unless you're Stefan Hassan.
Yeah.
What's the gap in days? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I do have it up. I'll find out.
Isn't this stuff complicated? Like, remember when you just used to know if you got the time, you go. If you don't go. Like this ranking stuff and qualifying periods and.
Yeah, the one thing I have an issue with the ranking system is. Like, how can you potentially send somebody to the Olympics that's run slower than somebody else? It doesn't sit very well. I guess people would argue then, well, just run the standard and then it's not an issue. You know, the ranking points don't come into it. But, yeah, that's a bit of a worry in my books.
Anyway,
what are your predictions? What are your predictions for what's Stewie going to run?
You talk about this before, didn't we? 1500.
Well, but you guys haven't mentioned it.
I'm too busy trying to pronounce names correctly over here, mate. I think Stewie will do the 15 and potentially the 10 as well. I'd have to know exactly how many days they are between them.
All right, I'll find out. So Friday...
Stewie's pretty good at backing up. There was a 15 over there as well, Moose, in Nice.
15 or a 3,000 steeple?
Both.
Both. You had Joy Edwards in that there.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, so... We'll talk about the steeple. So Ben Buckingham ran another fucking 8:24. He's dialed into that. James Nipperis was 9th, 8:35. So still a good run from him. Ed Trippis, 8:40. Not great from Ed considering what he's done running that time over in the States. So he's made a quick trip across to Europe. Big steeple over there. We'll get back to Nice, but a big steeple over in the NCAA 3,000 meter steeple final. Kai Robinson, who runs for Stanford, he broke his own under 20 national record again. So he's run 8:32 to come sixth in that final. That's a very fast run for a championship race, like considering that they are racing. Not often like they go that far. Well, they did at this championships, but not often that they run that fast in championship finals. So Kai's knocking on the door as well. You'd have to think that he's going to be a real star in the future.
Gets better every race, this kid, too.
Yeah.
Gets better every race. And then the 15, Jai Edwards was first, 334.7. Rory Hunter, fifth, 336.8. That'd be a season best for Rory, I think.
PB, actually.
And a PB. Okay. Yeah, so he's getting right at the right time. Potentially he can chuck his name in the hat there. Ryan Gregson, 12th, 344. I just put down here, Jai Edwards knows how to win a race, boys. He hasn't lost a race since December.
Loves breaking a tape. And I said to you boys in a message, like, I can't wait until he gets in a race that he can't actually win. Somebody is better than him, and it's fast, and I reckon he'll run a 331. Just because he hasn't been pushed to his limit at the moment in any race since December. Rory closed really, really hard in this race. So he's only, he's less than 2 seconds off the standard now. So, yeah, he's one to watch over the next couple of weeks. And I believe they're racing again on the 19th. I'm not sure where, but 19th is their next race.
Oh, and it's that time of the year that's just races midweek, weekends. Just wake up and just see results everywhere.
Yeah.
Remind me, though, the 15th. So let's say Stewie does the 15. Jai's already got it.
There's one spot.
Who else? But Rory hasn't got the time.
No. But
Gregson hasn't got the time. Has Ramsden got the time?
Yep.
No, and you got Ollie Hall.
Ollie Hall. So, yeah. So you'd say at the moment that
Rory's got to do something special.
Yeah.
Because I didn't just get the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's something to look out for.
And
as
in
well
terms
the next
of
couple
the
of weeks.
Olympic schedule, so the 10K is on the Friday night and the heats of the 1500 are on Tuesday. So it's not a whole heap of time. We're backing up from a 10K for a 1500.
But yeah. The spikes, Brad. But the spikes.
The spikes, yeah. I personally think that like the 10K wouldn't be Stewie's preferred event, and I reckon you'd be potentially risking a really good result in the 15 by doing the 10. That'd be my
hard choices.
2 cents, yeah.
Launceston and Runner Festival, I was down there, watched most of the half marathon on the live stream before I went down to the finish line. Our man from Shoe Geeks, fellas, Thomas DeCano, got the win, 62:38. Riley Cox, second, 62:54. Ben St. Lawrence, third, 63:09. Standing at the finish line, never seen three blokes more cooked after a race in all my life. Like, Riley Cox is vomiting everywhere. Tom's bent over. Benny's bent over. Like, they gave it all, these three fellas, in that race. Super foggy. Had a pacemaker through, like, 3 or 4K. And then Riley did a lot of the work. But then Tom, one of the smoothest movers you'll ever see, I reckon. Like, just covers the ground so well, makes it look easy.
Powerful, I reckon. He looks powerful when he
runs. Yeah.
He's a big unit. He's pretty tall.
He's in some great form going into Gold Coast Marathon in 3 weeks' time. Millie Clark got the win in the women's, 1:11:09. Carly Thackeray, second, 1:12:16. Melanie Daniels, third, 1:17:33. So a big gap there from second through third. Carly Thackeray was in the lead for probably 10, 15K of the race, and then Millie pulled her in, went past her, and put a bit over 60 seconds into her in that race.
I thought that was interesting, actually, because I saw her in the lead, and I'm like, isn't that girl from Melbourne?
I saw her on the flight, and I was like, because she was on the same flight as me, and I'm like, yeah, aren't you from Melbourne? Like, because I always see photos where we're training with, Melbourne Track Club girls there.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, I don't know, if she moved somewhere else, but...
You weren't meant to be in Melbourne for 2 weeks, though, like, unless you moved somewhere
exactly.
2 weeks ago.
Exactly, like, Sinead and Joel, Brett, Jack, they all went through official channels.
And they all missed out on a potential decent payday in a fast race because they, adhered to the rules.
Right. Exactly. Mm. They played it right.
When you got to Tassie, there was people there, like police and stuff, saying, have you been in these areas? Like, you're signing forms, you're ticking boxes. Mm. We had to show our IDs to say we're from New South Wales. We weren't from Metro Melbourne. If you're doing the wrong thing, that's a bit of a dog act when the, people going to the Olympics in 8 weeks' time are doing the right thing and staying home and missing a race opportunity.
Well, it's
not to say
that.
She's doing that. I mean, I don't actually know.
Yeah, exactly. We're not saying that happened, but if that did happen, then that's not just you should see the fucking hate that Victorian person got for coming up to the Sunshine Coast up here. Yeah. Like, you don't want to say you're a Victorian up here at the moment after that happened with that person that sort of broke the rules and drove up. They obviously didn't know they had COVID, but still they were breaking the rules. Rules that were put in place to stop incidents like that happening. And then all of a sudden the school shut up here because it's a smaller community and they've gone to Bunnings, they've gone to the fucking Kmart, they've gone to the coffee shop, everywhere. And all of a sudden it's like the community up here, they're not...
Is it these Noosa Moose? Is that where they are in Queensland?
It's on the Sunshine Coast further down, like Caloundra, Kawana area.
Yeah.
But it's not like Melbourne where we're slightly desensitized to it. Up here, it's like this is the first time they've really seen it. And there's people freaking out about it. And then there was like full anger at the person that's done that.
Couldn't have been more contrasting though. Like getting on a plane out of Melbourne, like I didn't have to show ID, didn't have to like tick anything, sign anything, like compared to going to Tassie. And they said like you're only meant to be using Melbourne Airport if you're an interstate person using Melbourne Airport for transit or if you're going for work. And then I'm looking around, there's like 55, 60 people on my flight. I'm thinking, surely these aren't all like Moama people or New South Wales people driving to the airport here. And surely they're not all going to work in Tassie for the weekend. Like, I think there's some people. I thought they would be way more strict, like asking us why you're getting on this plane. But no, nothing in Victoria. But then Tassie, that was scary walking through there. You know when the cops are behind you when you're driving and you think you've broken every single rule in your life? That's what it's like. I'm like, oh my God. Archie got told off for not having his face mask high enough and stuff.
Really?
Yep. No, but get that face mask higher. The cops yelled at him. I was like, do it, mate. Do it. I was odd as well because I was the only Melbourne like associated name that we saw in those results there on the weekend.
So
10K. Then talk about women's first. You watched it. Your athlete got the win, Ali Pashley.
Yeah, I watched the race. It was the footage was kind of sketchy the first 3K. I think there might have been like a bit of a hole or something with their internet. And then it got rolling and it was quite good coverage, men's and women's. There was two cameramen, which was good because they kept split screening it, which is also good. It means you can sort of watch one when the other one's on the main screen. So in the ladies, Ali, she ran 32:21 to beat Leanne Pompiani in 32:42, and Ruby Smee, under 20 athlete, I think, ran 33:07 for a good result for Ruby. The men's was Isaac Hain. You've talked about that a little bit. 29:03, yeah. Beat Dan Canala from South Australia. So two South Australians in the top two. He was 29:20 and Kieran Tall 29:21. So the race, like Isaac, he took off maybe, I'd say 7K. I think you said he dropped that 2:45. And up front, he just looked really strong. Like, I think Kieran Tall probably had the best PB out of the field, and I was expecting him to come home with the win. I just thought that he was biding his time for that first 5K. He was kind of looking around. He was always at the front. But Isaac just took the race upon himself and just basically picked it up by the scruff of the neck and said, no, I'm having you. And he dominated it. He put 17 seconds into the second pack or the pack behind him, and that was pretty impressive. 3K, 17 seconds.
He ran a 2:39. I was looking at his Strava today. So they already kicked down to like 2:52. Then he kicked it down to 2:45, 2:39.
Yeah.
Like he put a kick on a kick, and he looked like he was jogging. I watched his stream, and I'm like, he's just jogging out there.
Yeah, that was
because he ran 3:40. Like he's got some range now. I didn't think he had 10K in him.
It's good to see he's really bridged that gap. For remember we had him on the show and we sent him some spikes like a few years back when he won nationals.
Shouldn't have done that. Now he's smoking us up.
Yeah, but like it's good to see, you know, somebody sort of transition well from the juniors into the senior ranks, which he's obviously, you know, clearly done.
Yeah. Good kid too. Really nice, friendly guy. And then we should mention Riley Cox is also doing Gold Coast. So that's promising for him. I think he broke South Australian record there as well. So some good stories going through all those results here.
I got a new nickname for Riley Cox.
What is it?
I call him Shane Heal.
Shane Heal. What? Because did Shane Heal have long hair?
No, like that? It's because his head looks like a 3-point line because his hairline's so far back now.
Okay. I was thinking that. Like, do you reckon it'd annoy you, like bouncing around like that? Like, it kind of comes down to his shoulders.
Do you know what it is? It's the sign of a man on his last-ditch attempt to wear long hair for the rest of his life. And he's not giving up easily. He's like, this might never, ever happen again. It's going to go as long as I can get it before we turn bald.
Okay. And Benny Saint also doing Gold Coast, 63.09. Was only like 15 seconds off his half marathon PB as well. At the ripe age of what, Croak? What is he, 42?
No, he turns 40 this year.
Oh, 40. Sorry, Benny.
Later this year, I think.
A couple of years there. I thought he was older than you.
No, you're older younger. Than
him. No, you're worried about him going to 40 plus.
No. Oh, yeah.
That's what I was associating that with. Listen to the question though, Brad.
All right, you can only pick one event, boys. Which event at the Olympics are you most excited about? And that question comes from Mitchell Williams. I got mine picked.
Have you?
Men's 1500 for me.
Why?
Just like Chariot. I was assuming these people run it, but Chariot versus Ingebrigtsen versus Stewie versus Ollie Hoare versus whoever the Americans choose. Like I know Chariot really hasn't lost a race for ages, but I just reckon that it's open. Like it's such an open event. And I think the Aussie boys are in with a really good shot in that event. So that's the one I'm most excited for.
You mean, what happens if none of them make it, though, Croaks, to the final? It's hard to get to the final, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is hard to get to...
bad luck.
Yeah, I know.
Could sit down and watch it and there's no Australians there.
Yeah, but I just think...
Or no Americans.
I just think guys like Ollie and Stewie, like, they've been on the circuit long enough now that tactically they know how to get the job done, like, particularly Ollie. Like, Ollie's amazing tactically. So I just think... out of those
and Jai,
assuming those three, like assuming they're the three that we have on the start line in the heats, like one or two of them will get through to the final, at least one.
Moose, what's yours, Moose?
Well, the women's marathon. of course, that's what I'm excited about. I think Australia has the best team they've ever had. The girls, obviously, they're all healthy. Everyone's like training well, no one's going in like with a suspect injury, whatever. Everyone's coming in fit. They're going to be like, realistically, we could have three in the top 20 there. That's not an exaggeration. It could be that. I think one of them, I think we'll probably see one in the top 10. And then what happens after that? I'm really excited for how fit these girls are.
Yeah. Across the, when you look at the men's as well, like, one of those six athletes will come top 10. Don't know where. And it could be any one of the six.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah, the men's is exciting too. But I don't have an athlete in it. So I'm going to be more excited about this one.
I'm going to say women's 1500, Lyndon Hall, Jessica Hull, both big players, both could potentially run really well. I think they'll both definitely make the final. And, yeah, anything could happen in an Olympic 1500 metres final. And as you said about experience and stuff before, Croaks, they're both experienced now.
Yeah.
But Lyndon especially can kind of close with that sub-2-minute 800 metre speed. Yeah, we could see some green and gold.
I thought I heard somewhere that Jess was going to run the 5.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Isn't say that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did too.
Okay, another one we got to wait and see, really, don't we?
This is where, like, it's a real jigsaw puzzle at the moment. Like, you're just not sure where it's gonna end. But
we'll revisit that question before the opening ceremony, Mitchell.
Yeah,
see what happens. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week.
Oh, I haven't purchased much. Nah, not with the lockdown and all. I've been pretty frugal about that. I've just been getting scans. I've actually considered purchasing an MRI machine and putting a radiologist on my own payroll, but apparently they cost a fair bit of...
Do you know the one thing I'm surprised that you haven't bought yet, Moose, is an Alter G.
Oh, fuck. Don't
I reckon Alter G has your name written all over it.
I've found one for 25 grand. That's not that much.
How much they cost? That's 25 grand is not
hand,
that much.
Second hand, that's not that much. They're like 80 grand brand new or more. Oh, even okay. Brand spanking new, the real good ones are like 150, but like there's people getting rid of them. And
what about the level of excitement in his voice, Brady?
No,
I just love that it doesn't value 25 grand as being a big amount of money. Talking about the difference in incomes here, correct?
I would charge it out to everyone. You can pay 20 bucks a pop, 20 bucks an hour, get in here. All the people that I injure when I coach, straight in the Alter G. All your injured athletes, all croaks, they'll fly down. You know who will fly down?
Who?
The agony of defeat.
Oh, Zane.
Zane will fly down. He will love the Alter G. You'll injure him shortly.
No, he's doing well. He's doing well.
Yeah, and shortly,
I've had him for a while, too.
Alter G is a good investment, I reckon.
How much would you charge people to go on it, though? Or just have it set up in the shop behind a curtain or something?
I'd get Ali to do, like, the reception, and then they could charge it on their private health insurance for...
Ali to do the reception.
Yeah, because Ali's just going to base herself in Ballarat.
In Ballarat.
Sitting
behind a desk.
You know what? This could be a mobile Alter G. You could put it in the back of a truck, and anyone can use it. So you can get, like, recovering knee surgeries. They could get on there and start their walking. They'll get back. So you could hook up with, like, a local orthopedic surgeon and just get all of their, like, knee, hip, ankle, whatever surgeries, and that's the perfect way for their rehab. And then, yeah, like Ali, she'll work reception, and because she's a physio, people can claim it on private health insurance. It'll cost them fuck all. They'll get all of it back, so it'll be like going there for free.
It's got it all worked out. So someone who didn't have a purchase of the week planned, that's so a bad one.
Then she can give autographs, like, as a bonus on top.
I love how Moose, like, thinks he controls Ellie. What about, it's like, oh no, Ellie needs to be back by Monday. I need a car.
Wait, how do you know about that?
You told us that.
Told us.
It's like, yeah, I did need a car.
she's an adult with, like, her, she can make up her own mind about things, Moose.
Yeah, but I needed the car, Brad.
Yeah.
I wasn't catching I'm not a bloke who catches the bus around.
The old Victorian on the bus up there. What's coming up? Do we know of any Diamond Leagues, any races off the top of their heads, fellas, that people need to watch out for?
I don't think there's a Diamond League now till early July. So I think there's a lot of, like, national championships, and I guess, like, US trials and stuff will be in this period now. No doubt, as I said, I know there's another 1500 for, like, Rory and Jai on the 19th, just not sure where.
That's all while I know. You tell me if anything is coming up, Moose, I'll try to find this document that talks about this stuff.
Coming up?
Yeah, what do you got coming up?
Well, we got to sit down and we have to really pinpoint or plan out what guests we want for our Sunday marathon party. What are we calling it? The inside running?
Oh, Nick Earl's doing it. He was telling me yesterday.
Doing what?
Well, he invited himself.
He said he's right to take the stage.
He can pay for a ticket. That's about all he's going to come in for.
He's going to be support act. Just
does he pay for a ticket?
No, he hasn't paid. Oh, well, you know, coming. Nick. As if Nick Earl's going to pay for a ticket.
He's not coming.
Well, what? Yeah, what's he going?
Four tickets left.
What's he going to talk about? His marathon DNF.
If you're listening, Nick, buy a ticket. There's only four left.
DNS. My money's on a DNS.
When he run 68 yesterday.
He's
got a sore knee.
Well, why is he running
very quickly?
He's got a real sore knee. I don't know. You can't talk him into not running. You know what Nick Earl's like.
So I would have thought we'd get maybe somebody a little bit more high profile than Nick.
Yeah, I'm taking the piss here that Nick's invited himself. I've got this list here of this. What's the weekend? This weekend, there's a GP on. Yeah, June 13th. Jai Edwards, Rory Hunter.
That's already been. It's the 14th, Brady.
It is too. Did they race last night?
Well, they raced this weekend. I think that's outdated now.
Yeah, this document's from a while ago. It's Carly Thomas is maybe doing it 800 metres. Yeah, we got to sort that moose because that's going to come around pretty quick, the live shark at the Gold Coast. There's going to be some big dogs floating around too to ask on stage.
Yeah, we're going to have to get them early, I reckon. There'll be some parties being had up there because all the half runners, they'll be hung over, won't they? Because they got the race Saturday, the day before. Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
It'd be good to get the male and
you'll
female.
You'll just be hungover all weekend, won't
it'd
you,
be good
Chris?
To have the male and female winners from the half.
That's hard to organise because you're... Oh, the half.
What about the marathon? No, I reckon you could...
You don't want too many guests, though. Like, if you start getting the winners from the marathon, the winners from the half, some people going to the Olympics...
How about this?
You're not going to have no time to talk.
I'm just going to roll out a possible front pack.
We should probably do this when we're not recording, but anyway, keep going.
Men's marathon potential front pack. Benny Saint, Riley Cox, Louis McAfee, Hugh Williams, Andy Buchanan, Scott Westcott.
Scott Westcott's pacing.
Pacing, yeah, but he's still in the front pack, isn't he? Tom DeCanto. Gee, that's going to be so fun to watch.
So what about our mate from over in New Zealand?
Caden.
Nah, Dan.
Dan Jones.
Oh, Dan Jones.
Oh, right. He's coming.
They reckon he's real fit too.
He's going to paddle his ski over.
It is exciting though, Moose, because we're so used to Gold Coast being dominated by Africans, Japanese, you know, so to have a winner that's going to be either like Aussie or New Zealander is pretty cool. Like, and you know, and they're like the spotlight is going to be on them, whereas every other year the cameras are always on that front pack, which is, you know, very rarely has an Aussie in it. So yeah. it is exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is exciting.
They'll have to have official elite fields out soon too, won't they? Are you just going to ride a bike along? Because I want to know who's in the women's field as well. Are you just going to ride a bike along, Moose, and watch it?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
You'll just be on the beers all weekend up there, won't you?
My Achilles coming good. This front pack's getting me excited.
You were meant to be in the front back.
I had a good heart rate today on my run, 25 minutes.
Is this like the third marathon you haven't made the start line of, Moose?
You should have seen my elliptical session the other day. I did 4x8.
I saw a video of you on the elliptical yesterday.
It was a good video. I've got a better technique now. I've worked out that you don't have to hold on, and you can simulate the running motion better. If you're not holding it onto the
hands.
That's
the video I saw. You're on full running kit and you've got like a running hat on as well inside.
Yeah. They've got to know who I am. I'm the runner, I'm not a gym man. They look at me and go, oh, that's good running technique on the elliptical. I keep it the same. This is a good cross training tip, right? So you get on the elliptical machine, you can get the same cadence that you get running when you're on the elliptical. So you can run at like 80 to 90 RPMs. So it actually feels like you're running. And it's the most specific cross training that I've done so far. So riding a bike, swimming, the assault bike. What else?
Water running?
Water running. Fucking, I can't stand it. It just doesn't work for me. And then I got on the elliptical and I'm like, shit, this actually feels like I'm running. And the heart rate goes up so high, like full on threshold session, easily, exactly the same sort of session I would have done running, and works the same sort of muscles. Obviously, there's no loading, and like the calf doesn't get worked or whatever. It's more glutes and stuff. But I was really like impressed with how specific it felt to running.
He's getting pretty excited in the car there, isn't he, Brad?
He is.
I just feel like he's not running much, so he's got this excess energy. And
I just come back
the show.
From 25,
I like it.
I just come back from 25 minutes, lower heart rate than Ali on the run. It was the biggest win I've had in like 8-10 weeks.
She raced yesterday.
Doesn't matter.
Flew home. She's probably a bit tired.
I've fucking done no running, and I'm still fitter than her.
She'd smoke you over 10K at the moment.
Not off that heart rate, data.
Oh, Moose, right. Put your money where your mouth is. See you on the start line at Gold Coast.
Yeah, I need a few more 25-minute runs before I get there.
So I just found an article on the Gold Coast website announcing some of the female marathoners.
Oh, yeah, who they got?
So Millie Clark.
Yep.
Sarah Klein.
Injindo, I think.
Neera Jarab from Western Australia.
Yep, over in Perth, yep.
Marnie Ponton
Oh, yeah.
Madeline Heiner.
Big name. Marathon debut.
New Zealander Kelly Parlane.
Oh, yeah. Been around for a while, Kelly. Seen her name around.
Alice Mason.
Yeah. I think you're getting into some, like, 240.
Yeah, so it says here 18 women in the Gold Coast's classy field of female marathoners have previously run a sub 250 with another four debutantes. So I'd say from that list, you're looking at probably like Millie and even though I guess Maddie's making her debut, you'd have to say Millie and Maddie Heiner are probably the standouts of that list.
Has Maddie run a half marathon?
Well, she ran like Great Ocean Road.
Yeah, but like an official fast one, like where she's had a good crack.
I don't think so.
She's coming straight from the 10 to the marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
31:40 for
10K. So they'd be the top, well, they're the two, I guess, standouts.
Mm. We'll promo all that in the week leading into it. Yep. But yeah, you're right, Moose. It's going to be exciting, that men's pack especially, because any one of those six, seven guys you said could win it. So do we just invite all of them to the live show? Hope one of them wins.
Well, we'll just
you don't want to invite the wrong guy.
Give him one free beer, and then the winner can take the stage.
Someone has a shocker and runs eighth, but you'll line them up to talk on stage. All right, we're done, boys. What do you got coming up in life, Croaks?
Track tomorrow night, so I'll do a little bit of a session before pacing a 16:30-ish 5K. So we should have I reckon we'll have between 5 and 10 guys in that 16:30 sort of pack. Yeah, so it'll be fun.
Exciting. Moose, what are you doing? Have I asked you this yet?
Got some heat training coming up. We start the heat work up here, so I've got to just do some saunering. You need someone to look after the athlete, apparently. Someone like to observe to make sure they don't pass out. So so Bree and I will just be like reading our book out the front of the sauna so Ellie doesn't die.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. Now that you're fit again, I thought Ellie would be observing you in the sauna.
Nah.
Isn't it all about you, Moose?
There's no worries about me in the sauna, mate. I am strong as a ball.
All right. What about you, Brady? What do you got coming up?
One less day of work this week because it's a long weekend. Just taking this week super easy. Just jogging in between. Do a workout Friday, half marathon specific one. Because, yeah, we're going to then front up to Gold Coast in a couple of weeks. So, but got to get that recovery time right before we start. Actually, we got a new guy joining the Bendigo Bats up here from Albury, Patrick Stowe. So he's going to be doing some workouts with us, which is pretty good.
He'll be dirty to hear that he's been linked to the Bats.
How good the depth up here. Like, chuck him, Nathan Stowden as well from Cobram, Andy Buchanan, like... Jamie the Beast Cook. We're all going all right with Bendigo Bats at the moment. Don't know if Paddy Stowe did probably run a bit quicker to get a call up for our A team at the moment. But anyway, still a few weeks off Bendigo Bats at the moment. But good to see another guy. You know, you start producing some times, it just brings good people to your town.
Well, the way Victoria is, I wouldn't get too excited about getting a race down there anytime soon.
You know what's going to happen, Croaks. They're going to cancel this whole season again. And then we're going to have to be in Division 2 next year.
Yep.
The boys have already organised their tattoos and stuff too, like the Divi 2 Premiership tattoos they want to get on their ankles. I'm like, come on, boys. It's only round two. COVID's going to wipe out the season.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that you want to get tattoos.
Will you get one, Croaks?
If it was Div 1, potentially.
No, but that's the joke. It's Div 2. That's the whole joke.
Have you got your that's the whole Div joke. 1 yet, Pat?
No, I'm still waiting for my shirt. I carried that team when I won that Premiership. And Rem, you got like Premiership team singlets or shirts or something made up?
I've literally still got yours. But,
oh, well, Hutchie reckons he's got it.
No, you didn't pay for it, so we're not giving it to you.
You should have been paying me to wear that stuff. Anyway, what year was that? I've got a couple of premiership. I should get a little Geelong logo on one ankle with the years we won it there, and then the Bendigo Bats on the other ankle.
2014, 2015?
Yeah, how do you reckon that what team was
there?
Stack up?
Wasn't there real dissent with you in the Bendigo squad then? And now you've come back to them.
No, the Bendigo, we just stopped fielding teams. We just didn't have enough people to field teams and stuff.
There was dissent there, I know it. I know that.
Because remember Andy went to Melbourne Uni for a while as well? Yeah, I went to Geelong for a couple of years. Then all the boys just come home. The Beast went to Glen Huntley for a while. Croaks went to Alladella Rats for a while. Sydney Uni, and then he come back as well. So we're done. We're talking so much crap. I'm finishing this recording. See you next week, fellas.
See ya.
I've heard all your names. If it's all the same, I'll keep on walking. Hey guys.
Ready.
Oh my god.
Sorry. I didn't know if you knew.
Ready. Oh, right. Keep that in, Brady. Let's go.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right. Hey guys, welcome to episode 18 of Road to Nowhere, season 2. Or shall we call it episode 1 of an Olympian with two dickheads? I think that's good. I'm Nico.
That's not bad.
A dickhead. Welcome to my co-host, slightly more of a dickhead, I reckon. Joel Tobin White, how are you?
I'm going well.
All right. Welcome to my other co-host, future Olympian and star of the show, Ellie
and
Mashley.
Also a dickhead.
Ellie, congratulations, Ellie.
Thanks, Nick.
Did you get a phone?
Yeah, I got a phone call. Yeah.
Who was it?
It was Andrew Fakeney from Athletics Australia.
That's funny. He called me too to let me know that you made the team.
Oh, did he? To let you know that you missed out. Did you nominate?
No. Talking shit. Once again, gullible.
He's only done one marathon.
No, that's good. Was it? I suppose it obviously you feel a lot better when you get the call, but. Like, you knew it was coming, surely.
Well, yeah. It's funny, though. I felt a huge amount of relief after it. So I think it was playing on my mind a little more than I thought, even though we'd been to Cairns, so we were hopeful that that was the team that they were going to pick and the qualifying period had ended. But you still don't actually know because they, in the selection criteria, they don't have to take all of you if they don't want to. Yeah. So. And I was sitting in third as well. So they could have easily just said, oh, we'll just take two. She's so good.
Yeah, British athletics do that kind of stuff all the time. Just something changed the goalposts.
Yeah, I reckon they should have just taken two as well.
Yeah.
So until you
get it, you don't really know. And I'm training already for this marathon, but it is nice to actually have it confirmed. And
Yeah. Must feel good.
For Doha, like Moose got called by Christian Malcolm, who's a British sprinter, which must have been like a bit kind of, I don't know. It's like,
yeah, he used to work for Australia,
that's because he was the high performance director.
I realize that, but to get that sort of, you know, the call of a lifetime and it sort of being a firstly sprinter, it's like, oh god. And then
I love
British
that call of
a
lifetime is the old way of saying that Julian will never make another team.
Oh, 100. Do you think he will?
You're not asking me.
I actually
answered mine in a really weird spot. It wasn't. So my phone was ringing and it was a number that I didn't know. And I was sitting in the GP clinic getting an iron infusion.
Oh,
so
really?
I was in this room with all these nurses and stuff, and they were putting a cannula in my arm. And I just thought the nurse was actually in there. Pardon?
With a big label saying EPO. Yeah.
Iron is legal, listeners, if you're wondering. I answered. And I didn't even think about it being them. And then afterwards I was like, oh, I wish I didn't have my phone on me or I didn't take that then, because it was then a little bit awkward. I was having probably the biggest conversation of my life with this nurse standing beside me who I'd never met before. And then I couldn't really tell anyone.
Made the Aussie Olympic team, just casual.
In the end, I told the nurse because I was a little bit, I'd been saying on the phone, like, oh yeah, thanks so much. And I was a little bit teary almost. Yeah. And then she would have been looking at me thinking, what the hell is wrong with this girl? And then I was like, oh, sorry. And then I actually told her what the call was.
What did she say?
Yeah, she was pretty excited, I think, but
shut up.
I don't
and
know,
take
she was
syringe.
Very into her. Yeah.
Wipe your eyes and fuck off.
Why would you run a marathon? How Gross. Far is that?
My mum would just be so uninterested with that. Oh, it's all right. Yeah, okay. And then start telling you another story. Like, it's just not Oh, that's great.
Did your mum give iron infusions, does she?
No, she was a teacher. She's retired now. My point is, you're just very uninterested when it comes to running, even making the Olympics. Just wish you'd be like, oh, all right. So where are you going then?
Well, that was actually what she asked me. Oh, when is the next Olympics? And I was like, oh, it's actually soon, in a couple of months. And she was like, oh, is there one this year? I didn't even know.
That's the kind of reaction you want.
That is proof that we live in a bubble.
The Olympics, or do you have to qualify?
Yeah. When you grow up like running or doing any sort of sport, and you are definitely in that sort of athletic bubble, and you're by association, your family are, and your friends are. But there is a whole other world that just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, they just lack of knowledge as well. They just don't. They don't know if it's a big deal or not. They're like, can you run under 20 minutes for 5K? You know, that's, they'll just suddenly ask you that or something.
It's heaps of people in the arts that just put a concrete wall up to anything sport related. Just like, not interested. Anyway.
It is. We do live in a bubble of... people that know about sport and are interested in it.
And this nurse is like, well, I think it's a bad idea because, you know, you're going to spread COVID. You're like, you shouldn't be going, and I'm annoyed now. You know,
like... and stop crying. You're making me feel sick.
Why are you
crying? Snotty nose on the way out.
All right. Anyway, let's go into your week. Ellie, still up in Noosa?
So last week I did two workouts, and the first one was on Tuesday, so I'm doing a bit of a different cycle at the moment. So Tuesday was actually a 40k run, and within it I had to do 10 by a mile at 3:25 a mile float, so it was 32k of mile on mile off basically. And this was a tough, this was a rough one. I think I was probably a little tired just from the last couple of weeks in my legs. And I don't know if mentally I was a bit weak as well with this one. You know, afterwards you think, oh, maybe I was just being a bit of a pansy, but.
Ignore that. It's like when people, every single athlete thinks that after a race. And you think, I got dropped at the 8K mark. Could I have just gone a little bit harder and stayed on? It's like, no, if you could, you could. It's like in a similar way that when you have, as Dave McNeil said when he came on, when you have like the race of your life, and you sort of think it's like in the moment, you think it's easy. You think it's easy. But in the moment, you're feeling crazy amount of pain. But when you finish, you're like, you don't ever, it's that sort of thing, I reckon.
I think the tricky thing with this was too, it got quite hard early, and it was such a big session that I just, once I was in that bit of a negative hole, I kind of found it hard to get out of. So I did like the first, I'll read out my splits. I went 3:29, 3:50. So the idea was about 30 seconds slower for the float. 3:29, 3:55, 3:24, 53, 26, 53, 27, 58, 23, 54. And then this was when I started hurting a bit. 3:30, 4:05. So my floats slowed down, but I tried to keep my ons close to it. I'll say that at the end. 3:25, 4:03, 3:24, 4:05, 3:28, 4:24. This was a big.
Whoa.
This was flat. I got really puffed and I felt like I couldn't recover after that 3:28.
There's a big hole there on your pace graph.
Yeah. 3:25 and then 3:58. So I kind of came good again, I think, once I was on the last one. I had to stop and have a drink and then kind of get myself together and then
you full on stopped.
I was jogging really slow and then I stopped, got my water, kind of caught my breath a bit. I felt a bit like I couldn't get enough air in.
Is this at the end of the session or is this during that?
No, this was at the end of the night.
Second,
so I'd done 18 miles. Gotcha. And then I was fine once I just ran that 4:24 and sort of slowed down, got my breathing back under control, then I was fine. And then I did, 3:25, 3:58, but I was cooked.
That's good practice for a marathon, though, because it's kind of like having like a real dark period and then coming back.
Yeah, like, that's what Jules kept saying to me during it, and it was pissing me off. I actually shushed him at one point. I told him to shush because he was like trying to be positive with stuff like that. And I sometimes when I'm in those holes in hard sessions, I just don't want anyone to talk to me, and I actually like just going by myself and running in my own head. Yeah, anyway.
That's great. Also, yeah, Julie, yeah, you, when your coach is there, just go, fuck off.
Yeah, but
he
was trying.
Please.
He was trying to like keep me positive, and I had a stitch. I was trying to take on heaps of fluid, so I was practicing my full drinks protocol that I'm gonna hopefully use in the marathon. I got a stitch, and then he was trying to get me to keep taking it on, even though I had a stitch, to try and practice that as well. And I was like, I don't want it.
eat your vegetables.
Yeah. Was this the day you got the call, Ellie?
Actually, pardon? No, this was earlier in the week. This was a Tuesday. I was just, I was just a bit tired. Yeah, and it was just a long session. Like, it was such a big session that I just, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It. And I also felt like 3:25s, which was the pace that was set, it just felt a little bit too hot from the start. And I also wanted to try and run 3:25s because that was what was on the program, but it never felt like marathon effort. It felt too hard. And then I just kind of, it was normal, like 21 degrees or so. It was fine. Funny. Yeah.
So you start at 9:00. So that would have started affecting you, I reckon.
But even then, honestly,
it wasn't.
I think that, like, when you're in, you know how people say, you know, training is harder than racing. And it's like, overall, like, the pain you might feel in a race is harder. I don't know. I haven't done a marathon. I can't comment on it. But that sort of feeling that when you're doing, you know, when you're in such a hard session that's just really beating you up mentally and physically, and you're in the middle of a hard training block, it's like, it doesn't get harder than that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're in a race, you're going to be in the fucking Olympics. There's going to be a crowd. There's all that. It's a different kind of pain. Whereas.
Yeah. Like,
well, probably won't be right. Crowd.
Anyway. Oh, not probably.
And I always have one or two sessions like this in a marathon block.
You need it.
Like, sometimes worse, much bigger blow ups. It was just more, there was a couple of sections with a headwind too, and I felt like I was caning myself into the headwind to stay on pace, and then. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of need to keep the effort the same rather than the pace. So that's where you kind of need to not look at your watch.
Yeah.
Like, but then it's also hard sometimes, the effort, to know, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what I should have done, just stopped looking at pace. But then in my head I was also like, well, maybe I'll just try and hit the pace for the ons and then let the floats be a little bit slower. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it was just a huge session that I just went into it a bit tired, struggled a bit mentally. But then when I look back on it now, I'm like, well, I ran 40Ks and I think I averaged 3:44s for the 32. Through the middle. So
good.
So it's like you get everything you want out of that as far as fitness goes. I just didn't nail it like I wanted to, and I'd had a couple of good sessions the week before, so my confidence was high, and then I probably took a bit of a hit.
Oh, you need that at this point. You definitely do. Just
it's
to
like it's like Melbourne losing that match against Adelaide.
Yeah,
they'd gone undefeated. They needed it. I never would have thought I would bring up a footy.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
That's weird. That's out of character. Cut that, Brady.
Well, I pulled up fine. So I think because I kind of almost like cooked myself during the workout, I actually felt fine the next day. I wasn't sore. The next day I just had two short, easy runs. And then I had 3 days until my next session. So
How was the 4K like warm down?
Oh, the warm down was horrible. And my heart rate was really high from memory. I was running.
Huge.
Pardon?
A 4K warm down, having already run 36K, 32K of which is a session, like that's massive.
I was over it. But I also just wanted to get it done. Yeah. Actually, my heart rate wasn't that high, but it was getting up towards the end. It was like in the 150s, and I wasn't running very fast. But
does it suggest that just suggests your body's like really sort of has worked hard in that specific session, right? Because if you're super cooked, your heart rate doesn't get high. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was like a bit depleted, and because I also couldn't get all of my drinks in.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was just like I didn't feel good from the start. I think it was just one of those days.
One of those days. That's right.
But anyway, in hindsight, I was like, well, that wasn't so bad. And I've never ever done a session that big before, as far as volume of the actual workout goes. So
yeah, that's good. It's interesting. Good, I think the listeners are going to love hearing this. But in fact, you should just do like 3 hours on your week and skip Nick and I's week, because who gives a shit?
We'll be quick. They love heart run, Joel.
How was Ali's? No. Don't patronise us.
I like hearing yours as well, guys.
It's really good to hear how the... Okay, don't say that. All right. Anyway, it's tedious.
Then my next one was on Saturday, and this was 3x5K at 3:20, or the instruction was 3:25 with 1K float. And I was pretty confident I'd be able to do this okay, because the week before I'd done a progressive tempo where I'd run 16K at 3:26s without breaks between. So I thought this one should be pretty comfortable. And my legs had felt really good the day before, so that one was actually pretty good. We just did it around a housing estate near here. I had Jules on; he ran one with me, and then Bree was on the bike, and then Jules came on the bike for the last one.
You say housing estate, right? And it sounds like it will be rough as, but like looking at the map, you're just going around those like posh houses back onto like the water.
Yeah, this is not like a rough housing estate.
Noosa estates are not like the Manchester estates.
Yeah, exactly.
Noosa waters. This is like, oh, these houses are insane. Yeah,
housing estate though in England, like they are proper rough areas.
Liam and Noel Gallagher went right in their early songs on the Noosa Beach.
This is like infinity pools looking onto the canals and pontoons, and this is
look
fancy.
At that lady down there running.
Get rid of her.
Let them have cake.
Yeah, I actually really like this loop. It's 4Ks flat. Pretty like mostly road. You have to go over one little footbridge, and there's
one. Is
that
what you're running on today?
No. Today I was in another housing estate though. Yeah,
because I saw the houses there. They looked massive.
Where?
Maybe not.
On Instagram. Yeah. Now that was a different one. I'll talk about that next week, Joel.
True.
That was meant to be on the track, but there was an athletics carnival on. I ran 17 flat for every 5K, so that was very even.
Nice.
Wow.
Splits.
Like clockwork.
I've called them Jimmy Friend style even splits, because Jimmy Friend is one of the guys in our group who is like, I coach him and he's an absolute dream to coach, because everything you write, he hits it to the second.
Mad.
What a nerd. Spitballing into the back of the class.
Nah, he's the best. So that was 17K, 3:28 with the floats. And then I didn't do a long run. I just did two jogs on Sunday. So 163K for the week, 163.8.
Big still. So this week's a down week?
Yeah, this week's a down week leading into Lonnie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good, which is nice. Stuff.
Yeah. All right, so when are you planning on getting to Lonnie?
So Saturday, but my flight is via Melbourne. I'm on the flight that you're meant to be on, Joel.
Yeah.
So I'm just not sure what's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to get cancelled or you can apparently transit through Melbourne Airport.
Yeah. But okay.
Then you have to prove on the other side that you haven't been in Victoria. So it's a bit of a pain in the butt, because obviously my license and everything's Victorian. So I'm going to have to take receipts from accommodation up here and try and hopefully they believe me don't put me in a hotel quarantine.
Just take loads of photos of you in, like, you know, holding the newspaper next to a noosa sign. You know, like something that you can't possibly have faked.
Just go show the woman that. Look at all these horrible housing estates.
Look on my Strava. I've been in Noosa for weeks. So Saturday evening or afternoon, I think it is. And it depends on what happens with you guys too, with the Melbourne crew.
I can give you the answer right now. Not happening. I'm such a pessimist, but I don't think it's happening.
Tuesday though, so you know that goes to zero.
So you reckon if we get out of lockdown, I'll open the borders.
Yeah, I reckon so. They have.
They usually do once it gets down to zero.
They have been pretty good with that, like common sense. So well, we'll see. All right. Well, good week, Ellie. I will go now because I'm sorting out the phone a friend this week, which is annoying because it's a pain in the ass. I prefer when the office every week.
Finally pulled your finger out and sorted one out.
Pain. Right, anyway, but so Tuesday did a grassy fartlek. That was 32 minutes on and offs. Says I got 9.5Ks, but that's obviously with some dodgy watch issues, but yeah, that was fun. Thought I'd actually do something honest though on Thursday, and did a 6x K off a minute, just to try and just, you know, like keep that under three minute K pace and just like feel comfortable. But yeah, to be honest, like the first one was 2:58, felt good. Second one was like, oh, I kind of had to push a bit to go sub, and then I wanted to feel like that I was way sub, so I could then ease off towards the end. And so the third one was like a 2:57. And then 2:59 was a struggle, 2:58, and then 2:59 to finish. And was just like, they weren't really fourth gear. You know, I was just like trying to like convince myself that I could have gone faster if I needed to. But if I'm honest,
you're doing a good job of convincing us.
But at the time I was like, yeah, I feel fresh. It was just like proper gasping. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not lying on the track, but I wanted to.
When it's hard to a minute's not very long, is it?
No, it really isn't. But it was really nice conditions. And I was kind of happy to keep them all sub three. But I think I'm like 7 seconds a K slower than my peak fitness at the moment, which is, that's just a lot, isn't it?
When you do K reps.
Well, when I do pretty much everything kind of works out to, because that cross country at Lardner Park, I was about a minute off where I reckon I would have been. And then like doing park runs and stuff is just, it's just like 30 seconds, 35 seconds down on where I'd expect to be with that effort level. So, yeah, I reckon it's 7 seconds a K, so I'm not in shape at the moment.
Was the idea of this try to run what pace you think you want to run in Tassie next week?
No, I'm doing the half.
Oh, you're doing the half, okay.
Yeah, so I would love to run this.
She's like, same question.
63, aren't you going to run 63?
But this, because I've got this knee still, like, and it's just, I can't shake it. It really is super irritating, and it disappears for a day, and then it comes back the next run, and then the wake up the next morning, and then it really hurts again. It's just like
the ITB.
Yeah, it was the patellofemoral one.
And
it's just like
so annoying when you've got races coming. Like if you didn't have any race coming up for a while, you just go, all right, I'm just gonna have a week off or like a few days off. Let the inflammation. Smash exercises.
I mean, I've been doing all that. I've been managing it pretty well, like constantly having bloody peas on my knee because it's just better than the packs, because the packs need to warm up.
Frozen peas. I thought in my head then I got an image of you kneeling down in the toilet to piss.
You did it, Joel.
I swear to God, on my knees.
You go, I've been doing the peas on my knee. And I was like, what the fuck? I did.
I'm peeing on my knee. I'm kidding.
Yeah, like you're kneeling to piss. Yeah, doing a hip flexor stretch.
Just wee on my knee to fix it, Joel.
No, peeing on
my knee. Oh, is it you that has to pee on my knee? Oh, that's disgusting. Don't talk about that.
I meant kneeling to pee. Jeez. Come on, Nick. We'll talk about it on L Street.
You been taking anti-inflamms?
Yeah. And Toby O'Brien gave me a tip about taking ibuprofen without it screwing up my guts. take a Gaviscon afterwards because then it stops the stomach acid going crazy. What the
fuck does he know?
Oh, hell of a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a doctor, so he knows
a lot. That was the joke, everyone.
Yeah, one of Joel's classic jokes. Yeah, good for Joel. Anyway, Saturday morning, I did park run at Belle Reve, which is where Bluntstone Arena is, which is where the Run the Bridge starts. Yeah, and it's pretty flat until you go over the headland, which is like just a super hilly, really annoying bit. But yeah, it's 15:36, and I was actually like, yeah, my best around there is 15:19, and it's just, you know, early morning, you're not really out that up for it. So I don't know, I was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then I jogged over to the local cross country and did, it's meant to be 6K, but it was short, so it was about 5.8. Ran 3:14s there, like, so that started at 10, so that was like 45 minutes after I'd finished park run. Yeah, I came.
Well, how did cross country feel after a hard 5K?
Yeah, but like I couldn't dig in because guy Phil McConnon came past me in the last K, and I was like, normally there's no way I would let this guy beat me, but I was just like, oh, can't be asked. You know, because I kind of pushed quite hard at parkrun and was just doing this as like a tempo or like a threshold. But then I was kind of, that competitive instinct comes out, but I just didn't have it. I was just like, nah, you can have it. That's fine. I don't really care. But yeah, that was won by Grant Page. He was miles up the road, actually, which was kind of annoying. I was like, should I have doubled up? And I was like, yes, that's 11Ks in the bank. That's a good morning's work.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so Sunday, woke up, got out of bed and was just like, knee was 100% fine. Didn't take out any ibuprofen, didn't ice it, didn't stretch anything. And then start the Sunday run. And like after half a K, my knee started hurting. Like, so I fucking had to put up with that for 29.5K sore knee.
Long runs are the worst with pain, I reckon. Oh, when you've got like a niggle, a long run with a niggle is just the worst. It drags on. There's no stopping. Like in a session, at least you stop.
You stop. Like, oh, yes. I wonder if it's going to hurt. And it feels better when you get going again.
Yeah. I don't know if you get this, but you worry in a long run too. Am I just making this worse being out here for that long?
But it didn't get worse during the run. Like after half a K, it hurt pretty much then constantly. And it was a good group actually. And so I was chatting away, and that kind of just like takes the, it just makes you feel better when you're chatting away. And Bailey in the group, the Pulse runner, pulse.running.com.au. Bailey.
Pulse.running.com.au.
He's coached by Collis, and he was he's done something in his like ankle, and he was saying, oh yeah, it's like 1 out of 10 pain, but he was completely silent during the run. Whereas I was like, mine's probably 2 out of 10 pain, but I was chatting away. So I was like, Bailey completely.
Everyone's got a
different
scale.
Are you trying to say you're tougher than Bailey?
No, I'm saying that Bailey's injury is a lot worse than 1 out of 10 because he was quiet. He's normally pretty chirpy on these runs. So, yeah, the fact that he was quiet, he did not say a word, even though I went back to have a chat with him, and he was just, like, completely silent.
That's
like,
oh, shit, this guy. Yeah. For, like, 2 hours straight.
Yeah, pretty much. And he actually dropped out after 18K, which is not like him. When he's been given something, he'll definitely do it. Yeah, so that's not good. But, yeah, it's just kind of, if mine was 2 out of 10 and I was chatting away in a great mood, and he was meant to be 1 out of 10, but it was full on struggling. But so I got through it and it was fine. And then went for a surf actually afterwards. Met a couple of mates where we drove out to Park Beach, which is a really good spot for surfing. And like, I literally had the best surf like hour and a half of my whole life.
When you say a surf, you mean proper surf, or you mean stand up paddleball?
No, like at the proper
the back of the break.
These waves are way too big for a paddleboard. So like. Yeah, on like my friend's longboard, and I was just catching everything.
Well, yeah. There you go, listeners. That is a shock to us all.
Is that really? Isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I did it quite a lot in England, but like,
Ali, did you think that Nick surfed?
Nah.
Really?
And let me tell you right now, every single listener is on their run or driving their car going, what the fuck?
It's because you're a little British runner. You're like the last kind of person you'd imagine to surf.
No way. Like, I would have thought Johnny surfed, just not you.
Johnny.
Johnny. Yeah, Johnny's a surfer guy. I've been hanging out with Matthew McConaughey.
I was actually wearing his wetsuit, and he was like fuming about it because I basically nicked it over Christmas. And he's like, "Oh, you're not going to use it. You've got a kid. You'll never go surfing now." And he hasn't.
Do you pee in the wetsuit?
Yeah, of course you do. Where else are you meant to do it?
What, you put frozen peas inside the wetsuit?
So Dose has never peed in his wetsuit.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
sounds like so he's telling fibs.
I know.
Big bag of fibs. That's what we would do. When we were triathletes, we were disgusting. We would pee, like, before going on, when you're just about to enter the